Name of Jesus.
Amen. The sermon's based on that reading from the Gospel of Luke, where Jesus is at a dinner party with the chief of the Pharisees. I will remain forever humbled by this honor. That's what Champ Bailey, 12-time Pro Bowl cornerback, first with the Redskins and then with the Denver Broncos. My son just woke up from his drawing. And then with the Denver Broncos, said this past summer on his induction, in his speech upon his induction into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, "I will forever remain humbled by this honor." Which I know is kind of the standard thing you hear at those sorts of events, but it is a weird thing to say at a moment like that if you think about it. There Champ is wearing a golden jacket. He is being publicly recognized for being the elite of the elite of the elite, literally being put on a pedestal, and I mean literally. He's standing next to a bronze bust of his own head, which will literally be placed on a pedestal in the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. Publicly recognized, he spends a lot of the speech talking about how spectacular he is, actually ends the speech by saying how he deserves, and they got to be there and got it right, and they got it right in electing him on the first ballot. And there he is, "I'm so humbled." When actually he means the exact opposite of humbled. That's different than someone saying that was humbling. I can imagine, maybe to stick with the football theme this magical time of year, a high school standout maybe moving up to the college ranks after his first week of practice saying that was humbling. He went from being the biggest and the fastest kid on his team after that first week, gets his clock cleaned a few times, realized at that level everyone is big and everyone is fast, and so he says that was humbling. A reality check brought down to earth. And then there's one more AH word from the same root, humiliating. Humiliating, that's different than the other two, to stick with the gridiron theme, humiliating. That is what happened to my beloved Michigan Wolverines 12 years ago today. It's a moment of silence. When they were humiliated by the Appalachian State Mountaineers in the football game. Humiliating is what happened to the nose guard of my high school football team, Mace Madison, when he scooped up a fumble and ran it into the end zone, only to have his touchdown dance interrupted with the news that he had run into the wrong end zone. That's humiliating. Humbling, humiliating. We get all three of those in that gospel lesson for today. I'm just so humbled. That's what I imagine the chief of the Pharisee, the guy who was throwing the party, that's probably what he said at his induction ceremony upon his election to be the ruler of the Pharisees. He says, "I am so humbled," by which he meant, "It's about time you chose me." Or, "I'm just so humbled." I imagine that's what everyone else who had been invited to the party except Jesus said upon receiving an invitation to the fancy party at the chief Pharisee's house. They just said, "I'm just so humbled even to be invited," by which they meant, "Well, it's about time you noticed me." Because they were all professional noticers, you see. Not just keeping an eye on themselves, they kept an eye on everybody else, and especially kept an eye on everybody else's eyes looking at them. We know of these Pharisees from throughout the Gospels. They all had very active social media accounts with lots of selfies of themselves deep in prayer, which is difficult to take a selfie of you while you're praying, if you think about it. I mean, how do you do that? Pictures of them dropping big coins into the coffers of the temple, giant scissors at dedication ceremonies to synagogues, cutting ribbons, all for everyone to see. They are professional noticers. You know the type. Look at me. That's why Luke and the Holy Spirit say they were watching Jesus carefully, for that's what they did. They watched. And here they watched Jesus humiliate them. That's the second of our H trilogy.
I'm pretty sure Jesus did not get invited to many more of these parties after the way he comported himself at this one. In fact, if you know the rest of the story, they did a lot worse to him than just blacklist him from their parties. He heals this fellow, which was kind of a big deal, I guess, and maybe upset them on the Sabbath, a man with dropsy, but he was bloated and ugly. It's edema. He probably smelled. So I imagine the folks at this fancy dinner party, they were just not too displeased with Jesus just getting rid of this guy, finally to move him out of the picture because he'd ruin all the Instagram photos they take if you had this bloated, stinky guy there. But what really turned them against Jesus was what happened next in his little lesson in party etiquette. To the very people who are battling, probably somewhat literally nudging each other for the best seats, he says, don't take the best seat. Don't take the best seat at one of these parties, because you go to the best seat, someone more honorable than you might come, and then the host of the party will come and remove you, which is bad enough when he's directed that at the people who are fighting for the seats. But it's worse when you see that Jesus has just acted this out. You see, Jesus, whenever he goes to a party, he becomes the host. He takes over, and he's done that. These people have fought for the honorable seats, but then looky and see who comes in. This man with dropsy, smelly, edema, ugly, the skin hard to look at. And Jesus looks and says, there is one worthy of honor. There is the one who deserves the seat of honor. And so he acts this out and gives all the attention, gives the glory of God to this one man they couldn't even stand to look at. He will become the one whose pictures go viral on those social media accounts as they are humiliated. They have to slink down. And then as if to make sure that he never gets invited again, Jesus looks right at the host, the guy who's throwing this party, and he says, this is the absolute worst party I have ever been to. He says it's actually not even a party. This is no party. This is you showing off and you buying advance tickets to the parties your guests will throw to show off and pay you back for inviting them to yours. It's humiliating. Humbled, so humbled. Then Jesus humiliating them. And then there's humbling, which that's the one that's reserved for us, I think. It's always a great hoot to poke fun at the Pharisees for about 2 seconds, because that's how long it takes for the ha-ha belly laugh, look at them, to turn into a nervous chuckle when you see that all those criticisms rebound right onto ourselves. They're exactly us. The professional noticers. We're the type. Noticing others, noticing us get noticed. Giving so that we can get. I mean, I'm a top dog Pharisee. You read these things from Jesus, and naturally, without thinking about it, you start thinking about how to play the system. So you're telling me, Jesus, that if I want a really good seat, I pretend I don't want the good seat, and I take the bad seat, because then I will get moved up to the big seat. I'm just so humbled. Which is the way that I get you to like me. He's not only good, but he's also humble. We love him even more. He's so great. Champ. He's a real champ. Look at that name. Or the way we kind of rig the system, they fish for compliments. You know, I'm really not sure that this sermon is holding together at all. And it's probably not very good. And if I were to leave it at that, someone at the end of the service would say, Pastor, you just do such a really good job. You're really good at preaching. That's called fishing for a compliment. Shh, I'm really horrible at this. Then they come back. Or you can rig the system. It's so easy. We're so good at this. For example, someone might say this to their spouse. They'd say, dearest spouse, I hereby humble myself. If I take the back of the line, I humble myself, I take the lower seat, I'm going to put your needs first, we're going to watch your television show, and let you decide where you go on vacation this year. I hereby humble myself, and by hereby humbling myself, I also hereby let you know that I am the more mature, thoughtful person in this relationship. Some people do that. And then the stuff about who we invite to feasts, oh man, these are biting words. I was trying to think if I've ever thrown a feast, and I don't think I, well, the only thing I could come up was my wedding. which I didn't pay for, but I did do the inviting of the people. And guess how many blind people were there? Guess how many lame people were there? Crippled. None. But there were 200 people there who were friends and brothers and relatives who I did not specifically pick out because they were rich, but I guess I kind of assumed that they were kind of rich, at least rich enough to afford the $50 crystal glasses that I registered for at Belk. And even if I ever were to throw a feast like the kind Jesus tells me I should throw, I'm sure I'd probably ruin it by putting a picture on Facebook. Oh, man, we are so backward. So backward. Here's an image for you about how backward we are. I was almost done with this sermon, and then I reading news posts and things you do, and the headline, this one struck me. It said, "Woman drives mobility scooter wrong way on a busy freeway." It tells a story about this lady who hijacked one of those little scooters from a Kroger, and she thought it'd be a great idea to drive it right out the front door onto I-75 in Detroit going the wrong way. Isn't that a great picture? Hijack scooter, wrong vehicle, wrong way on the highway. It's one of those things you just laugh at, again, kind of like the Pharisees for a couple of seconds, and then it dawned on me, that would be a great image for most of us, most of the time, in terms of how we actually live up to what Jesus asks for here, this humility, the parties we throw, who we invite, getting seen, wrong way, wrong vehicle, all backwards. I mean, who in the world does this sort of stuff? Who in the world deliberately, not calculatingly, but naturally, just takes that lowest seat, the one right by the door where the waiters, you know, come out and bang you as you're trying to enjoy your meal? Who in the world actually throws a feast where they intentionally only, these are the only kind of parties they have, only invite people who could never, ever pay them back, ever? I mean, who does this? No one ever does that, right? Well, there was that one guy. There was that one guy who once upon a time showed up to the party, sees the likes of you and me jonesing for the best seats. And even though he kind of made all the seats, he takes the worst seat of all. Have you heard of him? One of his friends wrote a little ditty about it. It goes something like this. It says, "He was in the very form of God, but did not think that that was something worth hanging on to, but humbled himself." There's that word again. "Becoming a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross." Talk about a lousy seat, a cross. And it's the seat, it's the lowest of the lowest seats that Jesus, he's the guy. He's the guy, he's the one that took that seat for you and for me, the one who gives it all up. Because you see, he knows what's behind all of our jonesing for the very best seats. He knows all about all the insecurity and all the feeling small and all the feeling ugly and the absolute terror that wells up in us at the mere thought of our most humiliating bits making an appearance. So he says, "I'll take the low seat. I'll take the cross and your sin and your shame and your fear and your humiliation, and I'll spread my arms and I'll gather it up and I will die for it. And then because of the kind of thing I do, I'll rise and I'll throw a feast." The kind of feast only he can throw. He invites you. He invites the actual you. It's like he's in his helicopter up there and he sees you in your hijacked mobility scooter going the wrong way on the wrong highway, smelling all bloated and all that stuff. And he says, "That's just the kind of folks that I want at my party. Bloated egos and smelly shames and ugly track records, just the kind of folks that I want at my feast." And he throws it every single week. He throws it right here. You call it Holy Communion, or the Lord's Supper, or the Sacrament of the Altar, whatever you want to call it, but it's Jesus inviting the poor and the crippled and the lame and the blind and the ugly and the shame-filled and you and me to his banquet. Invites the very ones who could never dream of paying him back, who he doesn't even want you to dream of paying it back, because he doesn't throw it so you can pay him back. He throws it because he loves you. He throws it because he wants you to know that he loves you. He wants you to know that as surely as his bready body and his winy blood passes through your lips, so surely do you have a spot at his table. And so certainly, do you have a reservation at a greater table to come? No credentials needed here, just the bread of life and the blood of Jesus that covers all your sins. And no checking of IDs or CVs to see if you got the right credentials or the right track record, if you belong as a guest. Just the voice of Jesus, like we sang, saying, "Come to me, you weary. Come unto me and rest." Wow. What do you say after something like that? Maybe you say, "I just feel so humbled." And mean it. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.